Well, is it right for followers of Jesus to celebrate his birth on December 25th? Is this a great way to celebrate the Son of God coming into the world, or are we mixing paganism with the gospel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, as long as I have been on daily talk radio, about 5.5 years now, people have wanted to discuss the issue of Christmas, Easter, Christmas in particular. Should we celebrate the birth of the Son of God at all? Should we celebrate the birth of the Son of God on December 25th? Is this something glorious and beautiful that exalts Jesus? Is this mixing paganism with the gospel? Or Christmas trees pagan? What about believers just celebrating the biblical calendar? And when was Jesus born anyway? Where does the Bible tell us to celebrate his birth? Well, every year folks want to weigh in on this. And most of the last 5+ years I've facilitated it by having a pre-Christmas debate. Now, this is not something I'm debating. This is something I'm facilitating. If we don't have lots of calls as we normally do on this, I've always got other things to talk about. So this is up to you. How interested are you in this story? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Many have been posting on Facebook and elsewhere already, but this is our time to talk these things through. On the one hand, just to lay out some of the issues, some would claim that December 25th is a pagan holy day, and the church simply took it over in accommodation with paganism. Others say, no, actually, there's evidence Jesus was born at this time of the year, and for many centuries, his birth was celebrated at this time of the year. Others would say this is no more than crass materialism and consumerism and another opportunity for Americans in particular to go into more debt and to celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of the year is no more relevant than to believe in Santa Claus. Others would say, what are you talking about? This is a wonderful time for our family to read sacred texts from the Gospels and to sing some of the most beautiful hymns in the world that we say for this time of the year. And in countries like India, Hindu nations, where everybody associates Christmas with the birth of Jesus, what a great time to preach the gospel. Others would say, what are you talking about? We know Jesus wasn't born at this time of the year, and we have a biblical calendar, and we can make a good case for him being born at Sukkot, the time of Tabernacles. Let the debate begin. 866-348-7884. On another note, my latest article is called Time to Stand Up to the Gay Censors. In light of the Duck Dynasty controversy, and interestingly, if you didn't follow the news, Cracker Barrel, come on, what were they thinking? This is a country kind of store, right? Country meals and country store. Cracker Barrel pulled its Duck Dynasty items, in particular those that would feature Phil Robertson prominently. And there was such a massive backlash that they immediately said, we blew it. We apologize. We didn't want to offend. And that's exactly what we did. They ate humble pie and said, everything reinstated. Please join us for meals. And I think people will react positively to that. But I'm not calling for censorship either way. I'm calling for believers to stand up to gay censors like GLAAD, which I have renamed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. Read my article by going to askdrbrown.org and clicking on latest article. Oh, a couple of real neat things to share with you before we get into the debate. When we come back today, right here, live on The Line of Fire.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am Jewish, born and raised in a Jewish home on Long Island, born in Manhattan, raised on Long Island, bar mitzvah at 13, but not religiously Jewish. In other words, I did not observe Sabbath in any real way, didn't observe the dietary laws. So Jewish enough to know we're Jews, we don't believe in Jesus, etc. And we have Hanukkah, they have Christmas, but not a devout traditional Jew. Of course, I've always made that plain. The church in which I got saved in 1971 was an Italian Pentecostal church. And some of the history of Italian Pentecostalism is to react against Catholicism and react against other church traditions. In fact, as I've had the joy of ministering in Italy 21 trips, so hundreds of messages, but 21 trips, there's a joke that some shared with me among the Italian Pentecostals who are dear brothers and sisters to me, especially having gotten saved in that environment. But the joke was, if the Catholics do it, we don't. So in other words, everybody has their traditions. But the church in which I got saved did not celebrate Christmas, did not celebrate Easter, and did not make Sunday any different than any other day of the week, except that we met then Sunday mornings. But we met several other times, and that was just the attitude, that every day is the same. When I was in, Nancy and I were in the next church several years after that, the next church after the one we were the first 6 years, we were surprised that anything was done for Christmas. We were surprised because we didn't associate this in it with anything spiritual. Now, many of you, this is a very sacred time of the year. Many of you find this a great time to exalt Jesus, a great time to sing, as I said, some of the most beautiful hymns, a great time to gather your family and say the Son of God has come into the world. Others feel that this is the wrong time of the year to celebrate his birth, if we're to celebrate it at all, that the New Testament emphasis is on his death and resurrection, that we have a biblical calendar. So we're going to debate and discuss these issues. 866-348-7884. Now, I'm going to do my best to give equal time to both sides. Many of you write to me at other times of the year and call at other times with a criticism of Christmas celebration, or you think there's a better way to do things. Today's a great day to call in. If I only have calls on one side or the other, that's what you'll be hearing, but I'm going to do my best to take as many on both sides of the issue. Okay. Before I go to the phones, we continue to get flooded with appreciation, notes, comments, emails, texts, calls, tweets for the Piers Morgan interview. And we are hearing with regularity from folks who are deeply appreciative, and you know what can I say? We are greatly blessed and encouraged by that. What I want to do is simply ask you forthrightly: would you help amplify my voice? Would you help amplify my voice so more people could hear our message? I believe that many of you were pleased to see me on the air and were rooting for me, and I felt like I was representing all of you on TV. Jimmy sent this note in via Facebook. Good job, Dr. Brown. I think this is the time you were made for. Your time to lead the revolution in love and truth has come. God bless you. There are no superstars in the kingdom. Every one of us has a role to play, and each role is important. I know my role, and I believe many of you are pleased that the Lord has given me this platform on radio and through writing and TV. And we're simply asking if you would help amplify my voice. How can you do that? You can do it by praying, and you can do it by giving. If you will simply call 1-800 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Be as generous as you can. I know it's the end of the year. I know some of you do believe in getting Christmas presents, etc. But if you could stand with us, it would really mean a lot. You have no idea how stretched we are as a team, joyfully, how sacrificially our team works to advance the gospel together. And your partnership would just help us reach more and more people and amplify my voice to speak to more and more people. So throughout the broadcast, as you have opportunity, give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. And for your generous year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, I will send you a copy of the 420-page book, Authentic Fire, which I am truly blessed by the wonderful responses we're getting, especially those saying, hey, I appreciate your gracious tone towards those you differ with as you respond to John MacArthur and Strange Fire. All right, to the phones, beginning with Tom in Brooklyn. What's your take on the celebration of the Christmas holiday?
How are you, and God bless you?
Doing well, thank you.
My idea, or at least my opinion, is this. I believe the celebration is crucial and it's important, and I believe we continue. And I guess the reasoning, my opinion, is this. Even if, let's just say, a presumption that it was a pagan holiday that was somehow transformed or evolved into what it is today, everybody who is celebrating it generally is celebrating it from a spiritual sense. No one is recollecting any kind of pagan gods of some kind to counteract. And so, in other words, what's in your heart probably means more than what day it is or anything. However, a day set aside is good.
All right, so even if this originally was some pagan holiday or the winter solstice or whatever, the fact is that people celebrating Christmas today are not recollecting that. They're not doing it for any other reason than they associate it with the birth of Jesus, those who are genuinely celebrating it. All right, that is a valid point. Does the origin of the day matter? Should we even care? Doesn't every day on the calendar year belong to God? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rachel in Amity, Oregon. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'd just like to say that God actually instructs us how we're supposed to come to him and how we're supposed to worship him. We don't decide. We can take something pagan and approach him that way. In fact, in Deuteronomy 12, after the Israelites were being instructed about when they came into the land, God told them they had to destroy all the objects of pagan worship in the land. And it states in verse 4, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. We're to remain holy and clean and separate ourselves out from all paganism and all false worship. I mean, I don't understand why a Christian or a professing Christian would want to involve themselves in false worship to false gods. And if you do any type of research, which you obviously already know, everything about Christmas, every symbol, every item, the tree, the Yuletide, everything goes back to paganism. Why on earth would you want to willingly throw yourself into that and immerse yourself in paganism? You know, and it's really a bad testimony to the world. You know, when people ask us about Christmas, we tell them it's because we're Christians that we don't celebrate Christmas, because we're going to honor God, stay holy, do the things that please him. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, he says.
Got it. All right, Rachel, loud and clear for weighing in. I appreciate that. So Rachel speaks for many others. God tells us in the Word how to approach him, how to worship him. Why should we borrow from paganism, whether it's the Yuletide logs or the Christmas tree or the wreaths? Some would say they are all thoroughly pagan. All right, you'll have an opportunity to respond. 866-348-7884. The other day, I guess it was, what day was that? The day after the Piers Morgan interview, I was doing something at home and I needed these tongs to take something out of boiling water. And I asked Nancy where the tongs were. She told me, and I looked at them and, well, how do you, I mean, they seem stuck, and how do you open them? And she was utterly amazed. She just pushed the thing down on the top, and, oh, they opened. We had a good laugh about it, but that is the reminder that we each have our gifts. We each have certain abilities. We each have certain things we can do well. And, hey, let's give ourselves to do what we can do well without comparing ourselves to one another. When we come back, we will take up the annual Christmas debate right here on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, come, rod of Jesse, and rescue us from
it is Satan's our fear. Annual Christmas debate here on the Line of Fire. I'm facilitating the debate. Some feel that Christmas is pagan through and through. Others feel it's a wonderful time to exalt Jesus. 866-348-7884. Feel free to respond to previous callers. Feel free simply to state your own views. Let's go to Bayside, New York. Michael, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Michael. Great show. I just wanted to weigh in on this. I believe America is in desperate need of spiritual revival, and the Celebrate Christmas is something I always did in my family with my mom, who's now deceased. But it was something that we did because we believed in God, and I think America needs God right now. We have abortion and homosexuality and promiscuity, and our colleges are just terrible. People are going to college and doing all sorts of horrible things like sleeping around and doing drugs. And I think Christmas is a good time for us to recollect what America was meant to be, what the Founding Fathers believed in. That's all I have to say.
So, yeah, Michael, loud and clear. Many would say, look, just look at this through spiritual eyes. The whole attempt to keep Christ in Christmas, where's that coming from? That's coming from people who love Jesus. Where's the attempt, the constant attempt to get rid of any image of Jesus or anything having to do with Christmas or just make it some holiday season or happy holidays? That's from the world. So there's the argument that you can see where the spiritual battle lies. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tom in Patchogue, Long Island. You've got a different perspective. Go ahead, please.
Well, I mean, my perspective is that, I mean, there's really two points for me. Number one is the reason I don't celebrate it is because I see it as a very worldly celebration. It's something that the world really seems to love every December, and it's something that you just can't get away from. It's like everyone in the world is celebrating this for their own reasons or whatnot, and I just think that as Christians, you know, we should be separate from the world. But my second point, I think, is more important because I don't begrudge any Christian for celebrating it, however, because, you know, I understand that people have their own reasons. And if, you know, any Christian wants to set aside one day of the year to reflect on the incarnation, you know, so be it, you know. But what I object to is that in many churches, it's made to be like such a big deal with Christmas that people like me that don't celebrate it don't feel welcome in a Christian church, which, you know, no Christian mm-hmm. should ever really have to feel.
Right. You know, Tom, it's interesting you mention that because one of my friends, Jewish woman, when she came to faith, struggled every year at Christmas time and Easter because of the churchianity of it and the traditionalism of it and the separation from Jewish roots she felt. And someone said, well, I'll just pray that you'll get the Christmas spirit. That actually hurt her more than helped her. Just again, sharing different perspectives. If you're just tuning in, I'm facilitating our annual Christmas debate, 866-34-TRUTH. Rosa in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. Just a couple
you're
of
welcome.
Points, and I hope you will bear with me. I'm Italian. I am also Catholic, but I listen to you all the time. I think you're great. I love the way you speak on the radio. Now, first of all, when that lady said that this is a pagan holiday, or it was based on paganism, okay, didn't God say that when you throw down those pagan symbols and everything, they what you do is that you also are going to sacrifice and turn that spot holy? God told the Jews. He told them, he said, when you do that, okay, what you're doing is that you're purifying that area and you're making it to me, all right? Also, in Italy, we do not...
So in other words, you're saying that if December 25th had pagan origins, that Christians have now taken this day and used it redemptively.
We do this all the time. Come on, when the Muslims took our churches and they made them into mosques, didn't we go back and take those churches back and prayed and purified and made it again holy? We did that all the time because these are things that God commanded us. He said, turn pagan into me. Make it mine. This is what Christ came for all of us. He said, make those Gentiles and everybody else to believe in me because they were pagan, but now they're going to believe in me through sacrifice and through repentance and through love for God. Also, okay, in Italy, we do not exchange gifts. At least it's the last time that I was there anyway when I grew up, at Christmas time. We only read with the Christmas Day, and Christmas Eve is only for God. We go to church. We have dinners together with family. It is all about Christ. It has nothing to do with gifts. Gifts are exchanged on January 6th. This is what I don't like about here in this country, is that we
celebrate. Got it. All right.
Celebrate.
Yeah, so just the mixing of it, right, the massive mixing of it with consumerism, with greed, and all of that. So Rosa, thank you for that point, which would basically be saying, hey, the whole world is pagan. Every non-believer is pagan, and Jesus comes to make the pagan holy through the gospel. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to do my best today to get to every single person that calls. Obviously, all of you are not going to be able to get through to make your call, but I'm going to do my best to try to take every call that does get through. 866-34-TRUTH. I think we all agree that if this is going to be looked at in any spiritual way, then the greed and consumerism has to be removed. Can we agree with that? I think so. And even if you say, hey, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and give each other gifts, well, if it's done in moderation, that's obviously between you and God. But let me encourage each of you to have your clear convictions and your clear reasons for what you do either way. And if you take something away, you remove something, do your best to replace it with something better. I'm going to keep alternating calls, pro and con. So con is up next. If you appreciate what we're doing on the radio broadcast, if you watched the Piers Morgan interview and were cheering me on and felt that I was a mouthpiece for you, by the way, if you missed that, just go to AskDrBrown.org. and click on latest video, you'll see it listed there. If you appreciate the books we're writing, if you appreciate our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, if you appreciate that as I'm speaking right now, our grads are ministering and bearing much fruit around the world, I'm asking you to stand with us and to help amplify my voice. We have many open doors before us. We just need funds to help walk through those doors. For your generous year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, I want to send you a copy of the Just Printed Authentic Fire book, which to our great joy is getting rave reviews and terrific responses. You'll find it easy to read, and it'll take you deeper in God and answer a ton of your questions. Call now, would you? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is time for our annual Christmas debate here on the Line of Fire. We do this to facilitate discussion between those who say it's important, it's good, it's right that we celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of the year. Some say we should celebrate it, but not at this time of the year. Others say, why celebrate it at all? It's not given in Scripture to celebrate. Others say, we have the biblical calendar. Why not simply use that? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm looking at an article that was published in Biblical Archaeology, Bible History Daily from the Biblical Archaeology Society from last year, how December 25th became Christmas. And the article mentions that the Bible offers few clues as to the birth of Jesus. And some have said, well, it's definitely not this time of the year. You could say it's not likely, but there's debate about it. So, check this out. According to this article, in the 2nd century CE, second century AD, further details of Jesus' birth and childhood are related in apocryphal writings such as the Infancy Gospel of Thomas and the Proto-Gospel of James, but these are not scriptural writings. These texts provide everything from the names of Jesus' grandparents to the details of his education. It's a lot of it mythological, but not the date of his birth. Finally, in about 200 CE, a Christian teacher in Egypt makes reference to the date Jesus was born. According to Clement of Alexandria, several different days have been proposed by various Christian groups. Surprising as it may seem, Clement doesn't mention December 25th at all. So what he's suggesting is a date of May 20th. Others say, and then he's got dates for his death, etc. By the 4th century, the article continues, we find references to two dates that were widely recognized and now also celebrated as Jesus' birthday, December 25th in the Western Roman Empire and January 6th in the East, especially in Egypt and Asia Minor, and on it goes with various other dates that have come forward. But people actually believed he was born at that time. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Marcia in Sterling, Virginia, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I did want to call in on this. I mean, this has been concerning me as well. I noticed I've been doing a lot of studies in the history of Catholicism and so forth, and I did find out that Christmas is a pagan holiday. I also found out that in Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32, God specifically tells us not to do this. He says, do not worship me in the way of the pagans. So as a Christian, I'm going to do what God commands me to do, what he tells me to do, not what the world says, not worship him the way I want to, not what it means to me, but specifically what he tells me to do. Just like he says he's the Lord of the feasts. You know, these don't belong to the Jews. This belongs to all of his people, his elect. So when I'm looking for guidance on what to do, I look towards his word and what the Bible tells me to do. So if he's telling me, do not do this, I'm not going to do it, no matter, you know, who says what or if anybody else wants to. You know, they're going to have to deal with their own relationship with God. I have to be responsible for mine, and I have to look at what he tells me to do, basically.
Now, so just one quick question to clarify, and thank you for being forthright, Marcia. When you say Christmas is a pagan holiday, do you mean the day on which it's celebrated or the elements as well?
Yes, the day that it's celebrated. It was actually Baal's birthday, and that was the sun god. He was Nimrod. He died. He became the sun god. His wife was Ashtaroth. She later became Isis. Ishtar, which is where Easter comes from. It's got a lot of really bad paganism practices in it.
All right, Marcia, you've spoken for others as well. Time for response to that on the other side of the break. Thank you, friends, for enlivening this annual Christmas debate.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, it is our annual Christmas debate. Some of you'd say, come on, Christians celebrating Christmas? That's just like a Jewish Jingle Bells song. Others say, what are you talking about? We celebrate the birth of Jesus coming into the world. We do outreaches in our church. We do singing of hymns and carols in our neighborhood. Joy to the world. Christ, the Messiah, has come. Our last caller said December 25th is actually the birthday of Baal or Baal. Hey, do me a favor. My PhD is in Near Eastern languages and literatures from NYU. So I did a lot of reading of ancient Near Eastern literature. I didn't read the whole corpus of ancient Near Eastern literature in the original languages, but I read a good amount of stuff. I don't remember reading in the ancient Near Eastern literature where it mentioned the birth of Baal or Baal being December 25th or the equivalent in some Semitic calendar. I'm looking at a link that was posted on the Shofar Horn website that makes this case. I just don't see it. I don't see that. I don't remember it, okay? So if it's there, someone be kind enough to point it out. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Faye in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. What's your take on the celebration of Christmas?
Hi, Dr. Moore. I finally get a chance to talk to you and give my opinion on something. Thank you.
God bless you. Please go ahead. Are you there? I tell you what, Dwight, we don't want to lose Faye. She really wants to share this. So see if we can fix the connection. If not, we'll just do our best to we'll do our best to get her back on. I know it's going to be hard to just get her on, but we'll try. All right, let's go to Boston. Alisiana, what's your take on the Christmas debate?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm Pastor Alisiana Ogunjabi, and I'm calling. I'm for Christmas because I look at this. If they can celebrate Halloween, which is a pagan holiday, and we cannot, I know it, we don't know the exact time when, you know, Christ was born. I think it's from November to December, I think in that space of time. But this is a symbol for the Christian to celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And I think that's why I'm for Christmas. And for me, in my family, we usually meet like tomorrow night. We have a dinner, and then we exchange, we pray, we exchange gifts. And that's the time I get to minister to my unbelieving family. This is the time I get to give out the Bibles and books that I have bought to my family. And, you know, my mother was one through that way. My mother, who was an unbeliever, was one through me doing this on Christmas Eve night. And we would stay until the next day. And we're going to do that tomorrow night. So, you know, I think Christmas is so important. On Halloween, you see them put up all kind of stuff. I do not celebrate Halloween. But why can't we put a symbol of the birth of Christ? You know?
Right. So, you've seen family members come to the Lord through this. Doesn't this mean God's a redeemer? Again, thank you for the call. With each call, if you're just tuning in, I'm doing my best to get an equal balance between pro and con. All right? So I am restating certain points after callers call, simply to reiterate certain things or to further spark the discussion. My goal is not to come to absolute conclusions on the broadcast, but to facilitate thoughtful discussion. Now, some would say, yeah, we fully agree that December 25th was a major pagan holiday, and that's why it was taken by the church at that time, or parts of the church, to say, here's a day when you're used to pagan celebration, you're now followers of Jesus, we're going to redeem this to celebrate his birth, because we know he did come into the world. Others say, no, we think we can make a case for him coming into the world at that time. Others saying, how blind can you be? This is the height of syncretism, which means, again, merging pagan things together with perhaps Orthodox tradition to join them together in one unholy mixture. Okay, I'm going back to the phones in a moment, but please put this on your calendars. If you're listening to me on Long Island, January 8th, the evening of January 8th, I'll be speaking at Word of Life Fellowship in Freeport, New York, and doing a joint book signing after the service, both Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. Be speaking and then signing books afterwards. Then, all of you listening in greater New York, New Jersey area, please join me January 9th. It's going to be a fabulous day in New York City from 1 to 6. So whatever time you could make it out, I'll be joining Kevin McCullough, the two of us from 1 to 4, be doing live TV, live radio together. And this was hosted by WMCA at the American Bible Society in Manhattan. Then from 4 to 6, I'm going to speak, then do Q&A, and then do joint book signing of Hyper Grace on Authentic Fire. So join me. If you can only come the last 2 hours, wonderful. But get there whatever time you can. This is going to be a unique opportunity to sit in on live radio and TV broadcast with Kevin McCullough and yours truly, January 9th. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to... All right, we lost Noel in New Jersey. Let's go to Domingo in Staten Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
I'm
against Christmas in a certain aspect. In my church, I do the pre-scenes, and I asked the pre-scenes. I said, suppose you got no gift for Christmas, what would you think? And someone said they would be angry, someone said they'd be disappointed. And then it dawned on me that Christmas is not about Christ. It's really about exchanging gifts. That's what the kids look for. So even my own kids, they're all like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas. You know, it's like as Christians, we slap Christ on National Exchange Gift Day, and it's not really about Christ. We say, let's keep Christ at Christmas, but in reality, it's let's have gifts. We have a little bit of Christ and a whole bunch of gift exchange. If we want to make Christmas about Christ, then let's make the whole day about Christ, not, you know, half of it, a little bit of Christ and a lot of gift exchange. And we're losing focus in the body of Christ. And I remember a preacher said that the word demon in the Greek meant distributors of gifts. So, I mean, yes, I believe we should celebrate Christmas, but let it be about Christ, not about exchanging gifts.
Got it. All right. So a little different take, no problem with the celebration of Christmas. However, the consumerism greed of it is completely destructive. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Edwin in Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Yes, I've celebrated Christmas all my life, and, you know, I never knew it was a pagan holiday, and then I actually was born again, and Christmas just became, you know, much richer to me, you know? And, you know, I take Romans 4:14 when it says one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. I consider it, you know, a special day. And whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And, you know, Paul said, you know, I am convinced fully that nothing is unclean in itself. So, you know, if I choose to use a tree to decorate it, I do it unto the Lord. You know, but if somebody wants to abstain, they can abstain.
Got it. So it's personal conviction there. I think obviously many would agree with that. Hey, Edwin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Well, what about the Christmas tree itself? Does Jeremiah 10 speak against it, where Jeremiah rebukes the pagan nations for decorating a tree? Well, obviously they were decorating the tree as if the tree had some kind of divine power and the tree was an idol or something like that, and they would chop trees down and take the wood and make idols. We understand that. I was in India one time preaching and sharing with villagers, and I went over to a tree and I kicked it, and I showed it had no power. It didn't kick back. I said, but if I chop it down and carve it into the shape of an idol, does it then have power? And they all smiled at me as I shared that. Well, no one's thinking of doing that with a Christmas tree, but is it actually idolatrous to have a Christmas tree in your home? Is that something that Jeremiah 10 would speak against? And by the way, the Greek word demon is not so much a gift giver. If there's anything having to do with any of our Greek or Latin words that come from it, it is speaking of a lesser divine power that could be a provider in some ways. But again, that's just nature of a deity or divine power. God himself is a giver of gifts. We'll be right back with your calls.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
It is time for our annual Christmas debate here on the Line of Fire. Hey, is it something beautiful and holy that the world has made worldly? Is it something that Christians never should have been celebrating in the first place? Is this an example of God's great redemptive power? Do we do better to stay with the biblical calendar and maybe celebrate the birth of Yeshua at the time of Sukkot, Tabernacles? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Garnett in Irvington, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I don't think that the devil fights against himself. When you have people trying to make Christmas Xmas, when you have them trying to take the names of Jesus out of the songs, I think it's because the devil knows that there's only one name unto heaven by which men can be saved. When in Acts 17, when Paul came upon the unknown gods, he said, "Let me tell you about the true God." And the world knows the power of that name. That's why they want to take it out. And I don't see how any born-again believer, knowing what that name has done, could, I don't care what day it is, the power is in that name and what he has done for each and every born-again believer. And so I don't think the devil does not understand the power of the name, and I'm surprised when believers don't have a glimpse of understanding of how great that name is. Christmas, Christmas, unto us is born this day a Savior. I don't care. If they wanted to have it four times a year, I would applaud it.
Hey, Garnett, thank you for sharing that. Listen, regardless of where you are in the debate, may I say a loud and clear amen to what our sister has shared about the power of the name of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ken in Revere, Massachusetts.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Responding to that last caller, I had to chuckle because I believe, you know, there is power in the name, but his name is Yeshua. It's not Jesus. He wouldn't have responded to the name Jesus. But I'm definitely
just quick question for you. That you do realize though that when the New Testament was given to us in Greek, that Yeshua became Jesus, so that the whole goal was to get his name known in different languages as it would relate to people.
Okay.
But anyhow, back to you.
Okay, I think that you know, I'm happy about the whole thing with Yeshua being born and coming into the world and everything. But I think that, you know, Christianity as a whole, I mean, I'm not Jewish. My wife is Jewish. But I think that Christians have kind of, you know, replaced they've taken away the Jewish roots of the faith. And I believe that, like the Leviticus 23, the appointed times, the appointed feast is, you know, is what we should be celebrating. And
mm-hmm. We already have a biblical calendar. God never took that away. why not follow that? Better than the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc.
Right, and you get into like where Yeshua was talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 7. He was saying to them, you know, you people honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. You know, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And, you know, Christmas is obviously, you know, a made-up tradition. You know, it's a something that's not biblically commanded. Like some of these other callers have said, you know, if you want to observe it, observe it. But it's sort of like a substitute for the real deal. You know, it would be.
And what would the real deal be, in your view?
Celebrating, like, the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, like...
Got it. Okay, so you already have a biblical holiday, and some would argue that's when Yeshua was born. Hey, Ken, I appreciate that. It raises the issue, especially for non-Catholics. Can the church develop traditions of its own that are redemptive? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I know we are coming to the end of this first hour, but fear not. I'm taking calls for one more solid hour, so stay right where you are. I will get to your calls immediately in the beginning of the new hour. I have been asked by some about the X and Xmas and what does it mean. Initially, it was not an attempt to remove, quote, Christ from Christmas. The X stands for the Greek letter chi, which is the first letter in Christos. So Christos Christ, the X would be the first letter, and it was just a shorthand way of saying it beginning several hundred years ago, some say dating back to the 16th century. That being said, I believe it has been used for some time now as a way to avoid writing Christ or saying Christ, saying his name at all. And when people commonly use Xmas today and write it in that form, they're commonly doing it so as to take away from having the name Christ in the holiday. Others, however, would point out, well, originally it had nothing to do with that. It was just the short way for writing Christ, the X, the chi, from Christos. So just a little history there. Of course, you could argue about the mass part, the liturgy part, and what's actually meant by that. Let me encourage, though, each of you. Dwight, thank you for the profound question, Dwight. A question worthy, I would say, of your many other posts and comments through the years. No relation to Xbox. But Dwight, I'm sure, out of our many listeners, there is at least one other person out there wondering about it. So let's clarify that. Yes, sir. Meet Dwight, our first-class call screener. May I encourage each of you to honor one another with your convictions, and whatever your conviction is, to hold to it in your own life while honoring brothers and sisters who have different convictions. And to those who do celebrate the holiday at this time of the year in a spiritual way, make sure that it is all about exalting Jesus. And for those who by conviction or preference don't, God bless you. Simply honor those who have different viewpoints and vice versa. Would you, friends, stand with us? We are encouraging year-end tax-deductible contributions from each of you. Your gift of any size, tax-deductible, generous, whatever you're able to share with us, I want to send you as my thank you, my 420-page authentic fire book, which will minister richly to you, I have no doubt whatsoever, regardless of what side you're in, the strange fire debate. Call now to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, for those who say Jesus is the reason for the season, then make him known without shame and take advantage of this time of the year to do it. Well, is it right for followers of Jesus to celebrate his birth on December 25th? Is this a great way to celebrate the Son of God coming into the world, or are we mixing paganism with the gospel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've done this just about every year for 5+ years. We've given you, the listeners, who are a major part of every show. In fact, if you weren't listening, I wouldn't be on the air, but not just listening, calling, giving you an opportunity to share your views about Christmas. Is this a pagan-based holiday? Is this a holy time of the year? Is this a wonderful opportunity to exalt Jesus in the midst of a unclean, dying, dark world, to celebrate the light of the world coming into the world? Is it just another opportunity for the world to be worldly and get greedy? Are there things that cannot be redeemed that are pagan elements, like a Christmas tree or Yuletide logs or the very December 25th date? Or is this an example of the gospel transcending that and making every day holy to the Lord? Or perhaps Jesus was born December 25th. This is the day for your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Over the last hour, I have alternated between positive and negative calls, the last one being a negative. So I'm going to start right now and take a positive call on this, but all viewpoints are welcomed. You may say, hey, we have the biblical calendar. You may say, in our family, we celebrate Yeshua's birth during Sukkot Tabernacles. Others would say, where does it tell us to celebrate his birth? Others would say, every opportunity we have to exalt Jesus, let's do it. Others would say, why do you think the world wants to take Christ out of Christmas? If it didn't matter, would there be a worldly battle? Others would say, well, that's not the issue. It's just an attack on Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us start with Mac in Rockland County, New York. Welcome, Mac, to the Line of Fire.
Grace and peace. I just wanted to say that, you know, it's when you say Jesus is the reason for the season, that I really believe that that is true. You know, I would just think that Christians have to also remember that we live in the world. We live in this world. It's the same world that Christ prayed not to take us out of, but to protect us in. You know, and Christmas is, what better way to spread the gospel by that way, you know? And you have to think also that, you have to know that early Christians was Jewish. You know, the first Christians, they were Jewish, and they came out of that Jewish mindset. And, you know, they were persecuted and tortured and blamed for so many things. And when it came around this time of year, December, this is when all of the other pagan religions and stuff used to celebrate their gods and things like that, you know. So why not the early Christians celebrate their God? They don't have to say this is the day of his birth, but this is the day of celebration. You're celebrating yours, so I'm going to celebrate mine, you know. And we have to remember that the world testifies also, you know. History testifies. You have poets, kings, philosophers. They all wrote about Jesus, so he's testified also in the world, you know. And since we have so many empires rose and fall, from, you know, the Babylonians, Medes, the Persians, this Roman Empire was the empire that reached around the world. So this is the vehicle. I mean, you had to think about it. That was, in a sense, the Twitter of its time. You know, so to reach so far.
Yeah, and the gospel, yeah, just to jump in, Mike, the gospel does come into the world at a strategic time with the Greek language, with the Roman Empire, with the ability to spread the message. So here's Mac's view. Hey, pagans are going to celebrate on this day. We're going to take it to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yes, it is time for our annual Christmas debate here on The Line of Fire. Is it just a matter of... It's just a matter of teacher's own. Is this a matter of Christians being worldly? Is this something we should take hold of to glorify Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, if you have not somehow watched the video of my interview on Piers Morgan last week, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest video. You'll see it in the list there. We've really been tremendously blessed by the many, really a flood of words of encouragement from those who watch the broadcast. One gentleman posted this on our Facebook page: "In an age of compromise, I am so happy about your interview on Piers Morgan. So happy you're just the right man for fire. No pun intended. Truly, you were made for fire. I really believe that. We each have our calling. This is part of my calling to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church so often in compromise. So thank you for your words of encouragement." Just looked at a post to my latest Facebook article, which is "It's Time to Stand Up to Gay Censors." I end the article by saying that this does not require name-calling or right-wing rhetoric or anger on our part. To the contrary, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, James 1:20. Rather, our stand for righteousness requires a heart in tune with the Lord and His Word, a life of personal purity without hypocrisy, and a genuine love for LGBT individuals whose lives we protect and defend, even while stating that homosexual practice is sin, that gay marriage is not truly marriage, and that God has a better way. There's a post to the article by Gerard: "Thank you, Dr. Brown, for writing this, yet another revealing truth. If it were not for people like you, the, quote, pro-gay scene would have had far more control over the media, as they already do. It is indeed time, way too late in my humble opinion, to rise up and let the truth be heard." We are flooded with responses like that. Just on our YouTube channel, the Piers Morgan interview has been viewed over 14,000 times, which is a good amount for something that we post on our YouTube channel. If you believe in what we're doing and can stand with me, your year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, I want to send you as my thank you the Authentic Fire Book with postage. It's a $25 value. It's 420 pages. We know some funds are very tight. Some are praying at the end of the year to make a substantial investment. I commend our ministry to you. I believe we're worthy of your support, and you will be blessed by this book. We're thrilled with the reviews coming in from Christian leaders, from individuals. They recognize my heart for unity. In the midst of my strong differences with Pastor MacArthur, they see the great goal is to exalt Jesus, to join together as one, and to call all believers into the fullness of the Word and the Spirit. So to stand with us, call right now 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate and make sure to request the book. Back to the phones. Let's go to Amity, Oregon. Sarah, welcome to The Line of Fire and our annual Christmas debate.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Just a few quick thoughts. You know, Jesus said that they hated me, they will hate you. He was very clear on that the world hated him, the world's going to hate His followers. And the world loves Christmas. It doesn't matter whether you're agnostic, whether you're an atheist, or even a God hater. They love Christmas. That in itself should tell you about the true nature behind this holiday. Also, you don't speak the truth by using a lie. The whole thing about Christmas is a lie. The date of his birth, as you've talked about, the fact that, you know, it's about Jesus when it really had nothing to do with him, the whole origination of the thing, and even the fact that the wise men came to see a baby, he wasn't even a baby, many believe he was a young child, just the whole thing is a lie, and I don't believe God tells his children to use a lie to spread the truth. Also, the Jesus of Christmas is a little baby. the world is really comfortable with that, facing Jesus as a little baby. And that isn't who Jesus is right now. He's Jesus, fire in his eyes. We're going to stand before him in judgment. He's awesome and fierce and holy and King of Kings. And when you start talking about that message, that's what the world is not comfortable with. Also, many people are unaware that it was actually against the law in this country to celebrate Christmas. The Puritans outlawed it for about 200 years because they knew the background and everything having to do with it. And I think that's a shock to some people that in America it was actually against the law just because of the history. And then my very last thought, you know, a lot of people read the Old Testament and they read about the Jews and you just shake your head. Why do they keep going to Baal worship and why do they keep having their high places? Can't they just stay pure to Yahweh and be holy? But this is the exact same situation that we're confronted with today. It's just repackaged. It's the same thing, Baal worship, you know, pagan things, the exact same. And so this is our test, just like we watched the Jews in the Old Testament. This is our test to say no to these things and be pure and holy. And if we can't say no to such a small thing as saying no to a Christmas tree or the like or giving gifts, how are we going to stand when real persecution comes in this country or much bigger things? You know, it says he who is faithful in little is going to be faithful in much. And this is just a small test, so I would just encourage people.
Yeah, I'm just jumping in, Sarah. You've said whole lot, and I prepare, you're on a roll. I wanted to let you speak there. So, let me just pull out one specific interesting thing from what Sarah said. On the one hand, you have this hatred of Christmas in the world. In other words, get Christ out of Christmas. We don't want a religious display of the birth of Jesus in our government headquarters, separation of church and state. Say happy holidays, don't say Merry Christmas. On the other hand, Sarah's pointing out, but come on, the world loves Christmas. It's this massive spend fest and everybody gets Christmas trees. You know, everybody, exaggerated term. And come on, it's the baby Jesus they like, not the one coming in flaming fire. Hey, good points. As the debate continues, 866-34-TRUTH, yes, the History Channel points out, among others, that from 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christmas was actually outlawed in Boston. The question is, why? Well, that's another issue of debate. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Maurice in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, I listen to you all the time. I think you're doing a very good work, man, kind of as apologetics and the way you communicate the gospel in love. That is very, very good. There's no anger and hatred in your message. Now, my comment about Christmas is that I think it's a very good thing that, you know, of one day of the year, all the focus is on Jesus. It's the whole lot of debate about when he was born, people I've heard say like Zacharias was doing his priestly duties around a certain particular time, and you know Jesus is 6 months, so they calculated he was born 4 BC and was crucified 31 AD. I'm not sure, but I know when I was growing up, we had Abraham Lincoln's Day, and we had George Washington's Day, and then they combined it and they didn't put on either birthday; they just made it an observance of President's Day. And I think it's the same day, even if it's not the exact day, the fact that we can acknowledge our great King, I think it's wonderful. A lot of the commercial stuff, the buying and selling and making a lot of money and the Santa Claus, all that stuff, it's not really good. But to acknowledge Jesus, the whole world is centered on Jesus, whether they like him or love him or hate him or whatever, they still can't get away from Christmas is centered on Jesus.
Yes, sir. Well, again, that is an argument that many would come back to, that, look, this is about Jesus. It can't get away from it. Why not take advantage of that? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Chris in Charlottesville, Virginia. You've got another take on this. Over to you. Hello, Chris. We lost Chris. All right, let's go to Leo in Dallas, Texas. We've got about a minute before the break, so dive right in, please.
Sir, this is Mitchell, Leo in Dallas. Check this out. When a father buys his son a car in his name, and the son all of a sudden, after a while, the father removes his name from that automobile. Am I right?
Sure thing.
Are we always say that God, the world is removing this and that. I don't believe that. They can't remove nothing. I believe God himself is removing his name off of a lot of crap.
That's all right, so, hey, Leo, that's a very interesting perspective. I'm just jumping in because we got a break, that God does not like being associated with Christmas because of its worldliness and greed and consumerism. What's that got to do with the sacred birth of the Son of God? So God's removing Christ from Christmas. Hey, Leo, thanks for sharing that. Back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, it is our annual Christmas debate, 866-34-TRUTH. Where do you stand on the issue? Is it a good thing for believers to celebrate Christmas, a healthy thing? I mentioned a moment ago, the History Channel pointed out that certain time in American history, Christmas was outlawed. Other parts, early American history, Christmas was celebrated widely. However, it wasn't declared a federal holiday until June 26, 1870, according to history.com. Let's take a neutral view, or at least not rabidly pro or con, from Reed in Ogden, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Great. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I think you asked some really, really good questions. And I guess the perspective that I like to take on Christmas is, you know, you ask if it's pagan, you know, if it's Christ-centered, if it's commercialized, if it's all these things, and what's the answer to that?
Well, you tell me.
I would say absolutely. It's all of those things. But the really cool thing, I believe that we all have the chance to infuse meaning in whatever we do. And so if we want to focus on the commercial and secular aspects, that's what it means. But if we focus on the spiritual aspects and the Christian aspects, that's what it becomes. And so I think as Christians, we have a really awesome opportunity to focus and magnify Christ in Christmas. And sure, there's all that other stuff in there. But if we focus on that, that's really what it becomes about. And that's what it is for us and our families. Other people see that. You know, Christmas is the time that you can talk about Christ freely, and other people aren't going to rub you off because they know that Christ is involved in Christmas, whether they're secular or not. They know that he's a part of it. And so for me, it's an awesome opportunity to focus on the Christian aspects of Christmas, because there are all those other aspects, but I'm focusing on those.
Got it. So, all right. Yeah, I'm sorry to jump in. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that the world gets greedy, and you know, that is our culture, does that mean that is the fruit of the day? And the fact, you know, do we not celebrate human birthdays because people get greedy? Or do we seek to do things in a way that honors the person and brings joy? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Walter in Astoria, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Christ is all, and Christ is the fulfillment of all. And I was just reading, because I wasn't familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Sukkot or Sukkah, whatever it's
right.
called.
Right, Sukkot, which is the plural of Sukkah. Sukkah is a tabernacle or booth. Sukkot is the plural of that, yes.
And isn't that what Christ was, the Ark of the Covenant? Mary was the Ark, and Jesus is the new and everlasting covenant. Long story short, over the millennia, And since Christ, and even in Isaiah, whatever we can do to bring the world to Christ, of course there's excess. Of course there's people who just want the new Beamer, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, we have to maybe gently guide them back to what it's all about. It's all about giving. It's all about celebrating. It's all about even the Sukkot was about decorating the tabernacle. So isn't that also in line with the tree and bringing all pagan, being in the world but not of the world, bringing the world back.
All right, and you're saying then to do it at Christmas time rather than at Sukkot, as some would say. And some of the thinking in terms of Mary's role and Miriam's role would reflect some Catholic theology as well. But I appreciate your perspective on that, being in the world but not of it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jim in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you doing today, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed in the Lord. Thank you, sir. How about you?
No, thank you for having me on your show. I just want to talk a little bit about the history of Christmas. Constantine, in and around 300 to 400 AD, I don't have the exact year in front of me, but he wanted to, when he saw the Ankh in the sky, and he decided to drop persecution on the Christians. He wanted to, he passed a law that Christians were no longer to be persecuted, but then he wanted to combine paganism with Christianity. At the time, they were celebrating the birthday of the sun god. Now, December 25th, after the winter solstice, ever since ancient Babylon, it's always been the birthday of Tammuz or Osiris. Of course, in Egypt, Tammuz would have been out of Phoenicia, the Baal god, and then going all the way back to ancient Babylon. So this is this religion does have its pagan origins. Now, we as Christians can utilize it to spread the gospel, as people do acknowledge. If you bring this fact up to most Christians, they tend to get a little upset. It is truth. It is history. It was outlawed in the United States by the Puritans. That was one of the reasons that they broke away from England when they came to the States, to North America, and they founded, based upon Christian principles, this country. And then later on, they missed the partying and the rebel rousing that was going on in England at the time.
All right, hey, Jim, yeah, just got to jump in there. We've got a break. Thank you for laying out many reasons that people do give, so as not to celebrate Christmas at all or on December 25th. Of course, many want to challenge these comments, but Jim, thanks for calling in. When we come back, we're going to hear the other side. Again, the debate will continue. We've got 30 minutes more. If you're able to get through, hold on, because I will take every call of those who get through, at least at this stage of the program. If you believe in what we're doing, if there would be a massive gap if the Line of Fire was not on the radio, or if my voice was not being heard in these platforms, then stand with us and help us continue with this broadcast and spread to the many other venues that are open to us. We just need funding to do it. We have tons of people coming to us for help, for counsel, for wisdom. We do need to increase our staff. We can only do it with your help. With your year-end tax-deductible gift, I want to send you my book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, 420-plus pages, getting wonderful responses from a wide range of leaders. So call to stand with us today. I want to thank you in advance on behalf of our team. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on donate, request the book when you do.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the annual Christmas debate here on the Line of Fire. We have heard everything from December 25th being the birthday of Baal and Tammuz, Baal and Tammuz, and therefore pagan, to Christmas trees being pagan, to, hey, who cares if it's pagan, we're redeeming it, to it's the world that's against Jesus, that's why the world hates Christmas, to, hey, it's because God's not in the Christmas holiday, and the world therefore loves Christmas. What do you have to say? I'm simply facilitating the discussion here on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Matt, that's an interesting quote, an article in the Independent UK. Oh, come all ye faithless, is it possible to celebrate Christmas if you don't believe in Jesus and care less when his birthday is? Why all the hubbub for some who say he never came into the world at all? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Thomas in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mr. Brown, just want to make a couple of quick points. Number one, if we gave up everything that is pagan, we would have to not go to work on Thursday because that's Thor's day from the original, and we'd have to give up clocks with hands on it because they clap on the sun god. And I just made that real quick to say that if we begin to sterilize everything that we're involved in, what's going to be left? Because the devil is the prince of this world, so he obviously has a lot of influence on everything. With that being said, why can't we redeem this day as the Lord is greater than anything else in our world? So why couldn't we redeem Christmas? There are many people who are being saved on Christmas because of Christmas ministries, you know, Angel Tree, so much good is coming from it. And I believe that, you know, we can redeem it as Christians. And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Right. So the first question is, and by the way, we've had a good balance of calls, pro and con, for an hour and a half. We've been flooded more recently with calls against celebration of Christmas, which is perfectly fine. This is representative for our listeners, but I just want you to know that if you want to present a pro argument, because I'm trying to alternate callers, we do need a few more pro Christmas callers. So, Dwight, just keep that in mind. We are loaded right now with the other position. So here's the question, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the question. Does God own every day of the year? Yes or no? Yes. If we're going to pick a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, if we should, that's another if we should, why not pick a day that pagans have used to celebrate their festivities, to say, especially if they get saved? Well, now we're going to turn this day around. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Amy, Port Jefferson, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I have to agree with the two women from Oregon, Rachel and Sarah, Marcia in Virginia, and Jim from Tampa. It's pagan origins and the mixture, and how God hates mixing scriptural truth with worldly and pagan practices. I do think it's the celebration is ancient mother and child worship, just repackaged. And one point I think is real important for us to see is that if Christ were in Christmas, the world would hate it. And atheists like Richard Dawkins love it. He even sings the carol. And also Romans 14, I don't think Paul was referring to any of the pagan holidays. I think he would condemn Christmas because of the reveling and the partying and the drinking and everything that goes along with it. Also, one thing I haven't heard anyone mention is the fact that this time of year there are more suicides than at any other time of the year. And that just shows me that Jesus...
All right. Hey, Amy, thank you for weighing in and sharing that clearly. Would Paul have condemned Christmas? 866-34-TRUTH. Let the debate continue.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, Joey, remind me to be careful before I play Marty Goetz when I start segments, because his music and the anointing on his music is so powerful. I just want to sit here and worship and break down and weep. So here's a question. Here's a question for you. For all those, and I've been going back and forth, taking different arguments, different sides, been in our Christmas debate here. For all those who say it is wrong, it is pagan, we've had some very strong calls and very strong reasons for it. When songs like that are especially sung at this time of the year, Come All Ye Faithful, which, by the way, is a tremendous gospel song, and others are especially sung at this time of the year, and people gather together for special worship services to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, and then the lost are invited to hear the message. How could that be wrong? How could that be wrong? By the way, and thanks for this reference, Matt, according to Psychology Today, is suicide more common at Christmas time? The answer is false. It's actually very uncommon. So just says this is myth after myth says it's false. Again, a caller raised that, and according to Psychology Today, that is false. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brandon, listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. My second time calling in, I really appreciate the work that you're doing in edifying the body of Christ.
And, well, thank you, sir.
I just wanted to weigh in from a scriptural perspective,
yeah,
as far as for or against Christmas. And I found that in a lot of the debates that I hear going on, a lot of believers have a strong stance against certain practices or certain cultural church phenomenon that we see in our day. And a lot of people use history as an emphasis as to why. And I think that we as believers want to be careful that we don't use history as our authority to instruct us in righteousness, because the word teaches us that it is scripture that is given to be profitable to instruct us in righteousness. But there's a scripture that says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's in Hosea 4:6. It says, because you have rejected knowledge of me, I will also reject you. And it's not just knowledge as in knowledge of history, but knowledge of the Lord. And I think that when we're looking at Christmas, we see this vehicle, whether it has a pagan origin or not, we see this vehicle where we see a lot of humanitarian work, a lot of people going out for the sake of giving and demonstrating the gospel. We see a lot of music that edifies the message of Christ. I heard a secular artist, CeeLo Green, sing the song Mary, Did You Know? So we see the gospel being distributed in a massive way. And as Paul said in Philippians, when he said that whether Christ be preached in pretense or in love, let Christ be preached. So that some people do it with the wrong motives, but the fact that Christ is being publicized and the message of the gospel is going forward, then he himself will rejoice.
And just got it. So Brandon, just one question for you. And again, that would be kind of in harmony with what I was just saying. If someone said, okay, there are places, there are churches, there are individuals that are exalting Jesus, but for the most part, this is just consumerism and greed. Isn't that painting Jesus in a negative picture?
I would say I would take it with a grain of salt, because we're in a fallen world. The materialism and the greed is going to be there regardless. But if whether it's Valentine's Day or birthday or Thanksgiving, but when you have an opportunity to inject through the mass media and through all the different things that we get the message of mammon out, and we can also, without a censor, get the message of the gospel out, it seems like it would be unwise for us who love the gospel to not inject that opportunity to put the gospel in there through music and through, you know, education and things that we normally wouldn't say all year round. People
got
get
it.
Exposed to it because of the holiday.
All right, Brandon, I really appreciate you weighing in with that perspective very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me just say that If I had to break down the two categories, the pro category would say, look, it's an opportunity to exalt Jesus. That's what it means to us, and we get to do it before the world. How could it be wrong? And God's a redeemer, regardless of the origins. The con side would be God's word makes very clear that we are not to be like the world and follow the ways of the pagans, and therefore we are to separate from this worldly pagan concept. I think that's a pretty simple breakdown of the two different viewpoints, but I welcome your calls to repeat those points or raise new points. Let's go to we lost Rick and Raleigh. Let's go back to Dallas, Texas. Mike, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me on. And first, I'd just like to say how encouraged I am for all the people who are against, because some 30 years ago when I became a Christian, started questioning things, I had to read Hislop's book, The Two Babylons. I don't know if you've read it, but that's a lot of work. I had to do that little study where you start with the course of Abii and trace all the way back to find out when he was born. That was a lot of work. These days, it's as simple as a Google search, so I don't understand why the average Christian doesn't question and look it up.
Now, a quick question for you. An average Google search is going to get you a whole lot of information. How do you sift out? You know, there's the old joke, well, it must be true, it's on the internet.
Yeah, so. And that is true. I mean, but at least they can look at both sides and know both sides. I don't think they really look at any side.
Things are much more accessible for better or worse. I agree with that.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I have been back and forth so many different times on this subject. I may call you back before this is over and be on the far side. I have read about the Christmas tree, grabbed the thing, threw it out in the front yard, wife crying. Let's just say one of those was definitely wrong. And on the other hand, you know, I've had the Christmas tree and thought, you know what, I am not worshiping Baal. And so I guess where I finally fall down on it is I think most people do it not as a pagan celebration. They do it as a tradition.
And let's be candid. No, I don't think anybody is saying that the vast majority of people celebrating Christmas, if they have a Christmas tree, are in any conscious way saying, let us celebrate Baal or Tammuz or Osiris or whoever. They're simply doing this as a tradition. They haven't even thought about it. And when a committed Christian decorates the Christmas tree, they're thinking, hey, this is something special we do, and we got the little angel on top because Gabriel announced the coming of Jesus into the world. So, Mike, I appreciate the going back and forth on that, but here's the real important thing that I want to say to everybody, okay, especially to heads of homes and decision makers in homes. I just want to say this. If you feel something's wrong and remove it, do your best to replace it with something even better. Follow? In other words, it's not a matter of standing for what's right, but if we're going to say this is wrong, when God said don't do what the pagans do, he gave his people something better to do. That's just what I encourage you with. 866-34-TRUTH-RIGHT. We'll stay in Dallas for one more call. Andrew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. God bless you and your ministry. I am not for nor I'm against. What I really want to say is that we as Christians and the Messianic Jews, why not just, as people are doing, just take Christmas as a tradition and celebration and preach Christ anyway. But for us who feel like it's really being as a Christ, it's not in Christmas anyway. Why not come together as a people who really love Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, and celebrate Christmas around the autumn season anyway, and just do both, like Paul did at the Mars Hill. He saw them, the unknown God. He told them who true God was. Take both.
So you're saying that basically in around the time of Sukkot Tabernacles, we should celebrate his birth with Messianic Jews, but then also celebrate something at the end of the year? Is that what you're suggesting?
Sure,
at the end of the year, hey, I'm like at Mars Hill now. Hey, y'all are talking about those who are pagans. Don't take Christ, take Christmas as a holiday. Don't want to say Christmas. Yeah, introduce Christ into Christmas.
Got it. Yeah, and let me just say this. While on the one hand, the world loves Christmas, that is true. On the one hand, the world loves Christmas. It's a big holiday. Even non-religious people celebrate it. The world does not love the Christ of Christmas. Hence, happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, etc. By the way, as a Jew, a Jewish follower of Jesus, I'm fine with saying have a blessed Christmas and a happy Hanukkah, celebrating both. But for many, happy holidays is a convenient way to get rid of Merry Christmas.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant.
The voice of Marty Goetz, oh, come, all ye faithful, should or should not followers of Jesus celebrate Christmas, celebrate the birth of Jesus at all? Celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of the year. I'm going to go as quickly as I can to a few more calls, and then I'm going to give my concluding comments. By the way, I'm going to be live tomorrow, Christmas Eve, with a bunch of encouraging things to talk to you about. So if you've wanted to call in and haven't been able, tomorrow, good opportunity for you to do it. And happy birthday to our wonderful, amazing younger daughter, Megan, born December 23rd, 1978. All right, Casey in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Give us your point as short and sweet as you can. Thank you.
Okay, hi, Dr. Brown. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
My thought is that the whole debate about Christmas, whether or not we should celebrate it, seems to me a scheme of the enemy, because it appears to me that it's a distraction to take away our worship from Jesus. I think when you come down to the heart of the matter, it's worship of Jesus, and that's what Christmas is, and a celebration of God giving us His Son, and it's our opportunity to celebrate that. And so, what I have to say to anybody who would argue with me about that is I'll worship Jesus every day of the year, and I'm not going to stop on Christmas.
Got it. All right, and to do something special with it and exalt Him, anything distracting from that is the enemy. 866-34-TRUTH. Monique in Zephyr Hills, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. I need you to be as direct as you can on this. Thank you.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show, Dr. Brown. What I wanted to say is that I hear everyone talking, and I don't hear anyone mentioning Revelations when Jesus talked to the church, that the problem that he had with them is that he had in the midst the Nicolaitans and their practices. So they were worshiping our king, but they had falsehood in the midst, and he wasn't happy with that. There is nothing wrong with worshiping God. The problem is that we're taking something that had nothing to do with God and trying to sprinkle Him on top and saying, no, this is for Jesus. And He warns us about doing that. And that's why my family and I have put aside Christmas, which I loved since a child. That's what I want to say.
Just real quick, and thanks for being clear on this, have you replaced it with something more life-giving, or do you still feel deprived?
I don't feel deprived because I know I'm doing the right thing. It's when we look at the world and see them, which we've also been warned about, well, look at the heathen. They get to have fun. They're prosperous. What about me? Jesus is our gift. And when we look at that and the salvation that has been given to us, how can you feel deprived?
Got it. Hey, Monique, can't argue with that answer whatsoever. What more do we have than Jesus? Others would say, yeah, but this was a special time around the gospel for us. Josh, we lost Josh. All right, I'm going to take one more negative call, and then I'm going to close with a positive comment just for balance sake. But Alex, all right, we'll tell you what. I'll take a neutral call from Jeff in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah. First of all, I don't buy the point where, yeah, some of the hymns are positive, so isn't that a good thing? That's not really too compelling to me. Having said that, though, you know, Paul says that don't let anybody judge you according to new moons or holidays, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, dietary laws and things like that. The people that are saying that we're, or that are refusing to allow people to celebrate the birth of our Savior are, to me, legalistic at best and cultic at worst. But, you know, everything can be perverted to a negative point, and Christmas has been as well as anything else. So,
right. So, and I'm just jumping in for time's sake. Yeah, I'm just jumping in for time's sake. But I think those are two important points, Jeff. And I apologize for not having more time, but I did want to get to your call. Number one, can we be legalistic? Well, there's a problem here, so we're just not going to, actually, the way the building you meet in, that kind of, if you check the origins of that, and you get legalistic and hung up. Or are we insensitive to the fact that even something good can easily become very perverted? Hey, Jeff, thank you for the call. I have not been reading Facebook comments. I've just been busy doing the show and reading other things that have come up during the show that relate to it. But I saw a comment from someone said, a show like this does more harm than good because it polarizes. Well, of course, that's another viewpoint. The fact is, these are discussions people want to have. These are discussions people need to have. And everyone ultimately has to have their own conviction before God. Christmas has never been a religious time of the year for me. In other words, growing up Jewish and then saved in a church that did not celebrate this in a special way as unto the Lord, it's never been part of my spiritual life or Nancy's. It's been a fun family time of the year without religious significance. That being said, exalting the Lord and honoring Him every day of every year is important. And I'm not being a wimp on this in what I say, because you know I'm not afraid to stake out positions that are costly. But I want to encourage everyone who honors the Lord at this time of the year to really honor Him. And if this is about Jesus in your household, then let that be central. And what a great time to minister to those in need, and what a great time to give gifts to those in need, and what a great time to go and show the love of Jesus to those who don't know Him. For those who absolutely feel it's wrong and it's just paganism and worldly, I encourage you to be faithful to your convictions, but not in a negative way that tears down without building up, but in a way that builds up the exaltation of the Lord in your life and the celebration of special times to Him at other times of the year. And many have said, hey, that's why Tabernacles is special or other days. So honor the Lord and let us honor one another. We're going to have a great, lively, live broadcast tomorrow, so join us again. And then on Christmas Day, for those who missed it, we're going to have some free time. We're replaying my evaluation of the Word of Faith movement on that day. All right. It is a great time to stand with us, a great time for your year-end gifts. It would really mean so much to us. So would you pray, and as you're able, send in your year-end tax-deductible gift to help us with the Line of Fire and our ministry worldwide and to the lost sheep of the House of Israel. And I'll send you, as a thank-you gift, my Authentic Fire book, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, if you're going to exalt Jesus, exalt Jesus without mixture.